Amen. Well, how many ready to receive from God today? All right. Well, that's three. Praise the Lord. How many ready to receive from God today? All right. Well, that's better. A little. Good. Praise God. Man, we had quite a first service today. And God really ministered to me. I pray that he ministered to many other people. But I sense in the spirit that we're going to go, and the first and the second service, you said, Pastor, do you preach the same message? Kind of not. Here, I'll put it this way. My notes are the same for the first service and the second service, but many times it will just go in a different direction. But I'll tell you, I sense that we are going to go kind of in the same direction that we went in the first service, which was in a I'll put it this way. I hardly got through any of my notes, but I believe the message that God had for us was given, and I believe it'll be given the second service too. Last week we started talking about, or we've done this for, actually this is our fourth week, but last week we talked about one of the signs, it being earthquakes and famines and pestilence. Remember this? And so this week I want to continue to look at the signs that are given to us. These signs are warning signs. Everybody say warning signs.
Warning. Okay.
So what do you have a warning sign? You have a warning sign because it's trying to get you not to, you know, to pay attention. You know what I mean? Like, you ever been at Home Depot and that thing starts going beep, 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 beep. What's it saying? It's saying, hey, get out of the way, I'm backing up. It's a warning sign. It's a warning sound. And so there's warning signs that God is giving us because he loves us. Let me make this clear. It's God's will that no one perish. That's what the Bible says. Amen? And no one means no one, including you. Amen? And please understand this. I love you guys, but please understand this. Just because you're in church, how many know the Bible doesn't say, oh, yeah, right here, the Bible says, go to church and you get to go to heaven. I mean, no, you can't find that scripture. Now, you can find a scripture that says, hey, as the day approaches, make sure you are, get your hiney ho in church every single time the church doors open. Amen?
Amen.
So, Pastor, hiney ho, is that Greek? Oh, that's not Greek. That's not Hebrew either. Amen. But the Bible is very clear that in the last days, you know what? You need to especially not forsake the gathering of the brethren. Why? Because we're going to need some encouragement. We need to be encouraged. We need to encourage each other. Amen? We need to be encouraged by the Word of God. Is that not right? All right. So let's turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. And I want to look at chapter 3 and verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. And I have it up on the screens. But let's read just a first part of this. I'll read chapter 3, verse 1 through, I think, 5. Yeah, 3 through 5. And you can follow me up on the screens. Look what it says. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Now everybody say, but know this.
But know this.
Okay, let's try it again. Everybody say, but know this. Now pretend you're the most famous actor in the world and emphasize no. Ready? But
no.
Okay. Some of you emphasize this too. Amen, but that's okay. But here's what I want you to catch. You know, the Bible wants you to know something. It's very, very important. Why? Because it's going to share with us some things. But know this, that in the last days, and this word days It's not saying in the last part of life. It's not saying that. It's this last days are indication of the last of the last, like it's the very last chapter in the book. Do you understand that? This is what Paul is writing Timothy and he's saying, understand this. This is the end of the end. Now, we know this because we understand that all scripture is inspired for us, is it not? Okay, but so understand this. This is written to Timothy, but Paul knows we're going to be reading this today. The Holy Spirit knows. This is for us today. Okay? So, in the last days, perilous times are going to come. Listen, perilous means hard times. Difficult times are going to come. And many times when we have been raised that discomfort is a negative. Right? But Paul teaches us, he says, I glory in my infirmities, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Does he not say this? Well, what's he talking about? Here's what he's talking about. Here's what he's saying. He's saying that, you know what? I've found the advantage to when I go through difficult times. James says the same thing. He says, rejoice. You know what? When you are going through hard times. Why? Because what it has a tendency for you to... Here's what just happens. We have a tendency, when things are going good, we're like, man, it's going good, and I made everything good. The reason it's going good is because I'm so smart. The reason why it's going good is because I'm so pretty. The reason why it's going good is so I'm so that and a bag of chips, and that's just, it goes good for me because... what you think. But when things aren't going so good, we have a tendency to humble out, amen, and to recognize, oh my goodness, how am I going to get out of my mess, right? So Paul says, here, I glory in my infirmities because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. I start to rely on God's power. And how many know God's power is way better than your power? Amen? So these times are going to come. But what we saw last week, let not your heart be troubled. Amen? Don't worry about it. You've got God on your side. But we've got to recognize. Now, I want you to do two things in this, what we're talking about. And we'll continue to talk about this next week. Same passage of Scripture. Because we won't get through this today. But we're going to look at, I think, two, maybe three things today, just three things that are on this list. And what I want you to do is I want you to make two applications. One, I want you to recognize these signs are happening because we're getting close to the end. Number one. But watch this. But number two, I want you to have some integrity to look and say, are these things that are listed, are they patterns in my life? Is there times that I'm selfish? Are there times that I'm just in love with money? Are there times when I can be full of pride? And even to the place, have I sometimes been blasphemous? Is that going on in my life? Have I been there? Okay, so you understand the two applications? One is that we're looking at as a sign of the end times. But two, let's apply and see if this can be in our life and going on in our life. You got the instruction?
Yes.
Are we together? All right. So, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But know this, that in perilous times, in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will become lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. You know what? Some of you are old enough, maybe you were in high school in the 60s, for some of you. but or maybe early 70s. Okay, but how many know in the 60s? If you were going to high school in the 60s, what were some of the major problems they had? Okay, let's think about it. Tardiness, running in the halls, chewing gum in class, spitballs. How many know today, spitballs aren't, you know, that's not very high on the list, amen? But bringing weapons to school, how many of that's a concern? How many know bringing drugs to school, that's a concern? Students that are on drugs, how many know that's a concern? Teenage pregnancy, how many know that's a concern? Wow. Are we living in a different day than we did? See, and we're not talking about 120 years ago. We're just talking about 40 years ago, folks. 50 years ago. What's going on? I believe right here. I believe you can't read this list and not go, oh my goodness, that's how people are now. They're prideful. They're boasters. They're arrogant. They're lovers. Man, they you know what? They love themselves. They're man, there's just this love of money and just, oh my goodness, that's today. How many would raise their hands and say, Pastor, I think that's true. Again, I want to just look at three subjects today. So let's look at this first one. Okay, for men will be lovers of themselves. Now, the truth is that could actually be a caption. We're going to look at it today specifically, but that could be a caption because almost all these, and what we're going to find is there's all kinds of intertwining of these subjects. But lovers of themselves, lovers of themselves. This is People Magazine, Perfect Family, Shocking Murder, okay? This was just happened, I think, last year, okay? But watch this. So this son kills his parents. Kills his parents. Hello? Look what this says. Asked by police after his arrest why he did it, this guy replies simply, I don't have a reason why. Just a lot of problems. He later said he blamed his parents, watch this, for his messed up life, adding that he was the least favorite child in the family. Okay, catch this. You are going to kill your parents because, as you perceive it, you're the least favorite? Can I tell you what's going on? The epitome of self-centeredness. It's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me. And you know what? And I will even kill you, my parents, because, you know what? Because you didn't treat me right. How many know his perception of being treated right might probably be way off? Like, my thought is, if you talk to his parents and you can't because they're dead, but if you could, they might say, oh yeah, you know what? We had a birthday party and you know what? And he was offended because, you know, it wasn't even his birthday, but, you know, his sister was getting a bunch of gifts, and he thought we should have got him something too. Now, I'm making that up, I don't know, but here's what I do know. He murdered his parents. Now here's the irony. You know what? As Tamara and I are looking at this, it's not like this is the only story you can find about kids killing their parents nowadays. I could show you a lot of this very same thing. Well, what's going on? Let me tell you what. In the end days, perilous times are going to come because here's what's going to happen. Because men are going to be so in love with themselves. And they're going to be so in love with themselves that they'll even kill their parents. It's crazy, huh? That's what's going on. And what is it? It's a sign. It's a sign that man, can I tell you about God? Here's what's going on. And here's what we don't understand. See, do you remember when you could ride around without a seatbelt? How many are young enough to remember that? Or old enough to remember? Okay, so you're like, driving, you don't have a seatbelt on. There was no law. It wasn't against the law. You could do that. You know, now this might shock you. There was a time, it was way back like with the dinosaurs, where you could ride in the back of a pickup truck. Amen? Yeah, it's way before your time, but it's the truth. Amen? So, but there was a time when you could ride around without a seatbelt, but then they changed the law, but then they had this grace period. How many remember the grace period? And if you got pulled over for that, they didn't give you a ticket. They just said, oh, by the way, there's a new law. Make sure you buckle up. Do you remember that grace period? But how many know that grace period ended? Amen? I know firsthand that grace period ended. Amen? I hate to tell you that. I was so mad at myself. You know what I mean? Wasn't mad at the officer. I was mad at myself. Amen? I'm over it at Pollo Loco. You know how close that is? Just right over there. And I had my seatbelt buckled. I was in the drive-thru, and I unbuckled it. Why? Because I had money in my pocket. I got the money out, paid them, forgot to buckle up, was driving from over there to the church. And one of those motorcycle cops pulled me over. Why? Grace period was over. Amen. Right? See, here's what we don't understand. Here's how we get deceived. And it's just the truth. You're not going to hear a lot of sermons like I'm going to preach today. I just guarantee you could go to a lot of churches for a long time and never, and I mean never, hear what I'm going to tell you today. And I'll tell you one of the reasons why is because men have become lovers of themselves, including pastors. And we just don't want to tell people the truth because we're too upset with how they're going to react. We're just loving ourselves. I'm getting ahead of myself. But so I get pulled over, and you know what? And I get a ticket. Well, you know what? That's what happened. You know, you do the crime. What? Pay the fee. Amen? Right? Okay. So, but here's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we think, right now, we think that, you know what? We can just continue in our sin, and everything's going to just keep on going the way it's going. I don't know if you've noticed, but America is not going in the right direction. Listen, things aren't getting better in America. Has anybody noticed that? Schools aren't getting better. Economically, it's not getting better. Morally, it's not getting better. Can I tell you what? Start to connect the dots. Your life will be blessed when you're obedient to what God asks you to do. That's true. So what's happened is we've just become people who aren't paying attention to what God is saying. Here's the thing. That time is going. So, but what is God doing? His will is that none perish. So because his will is none perish, he just keeps on saying, As a parent, you ever had a situation that you know you need to deal with it, you know you need to discipline it, but you keep on being hopeful that you won't have to bring that discipline? And you keep on giving your kids grace in that situation? A good parent at some point in time says, hey, time's up. How many know God is way wrong? Wrong English, real good theology. How many know God is way gooder than you? How many know this is true? But see, we don't understand. We just think that we can keep on driving without a seatbelt, and it's because we enjoyed the grace period. Listen, the Bible says, in these end days are going to be just like the days of Noah. And the days of Noah, one of the things they weren't doing, they weren't paying attention to God. And because they weren't paying attention to God, they got more evil and more evil and more evil. And there's this tipping point. And it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. But at some point in time, The tipping point happened, and God just goes, enough. And the same thing's going to happen. The same thing's going to happen in your life, and the same thing's going to happen in this world. And you can deny it. You can keep on thinking, no, I'm not going to get a ticket. I'm not going to get a ticket. I'm not going to get a ticket. But let me tell you what. The Bible's very clear. And like I said, you're not going to hear this sermon hardly by any pastors. But I'm going to give it to you because I love you. But there will be a day, you know what, when Jesus Christ is going to come back. And here's what the Bible says. And he will pour out his wrath on the sons of disobedience. See, we think we can just keep on loving ourselves, and walking in sin, and there's going to be no ramification for it. Listen, just because you go to the car wash doesn't mean you wash your car. Just because you go to McDonald's doesn't mean you eat anything there. And just because you go to church doesn't mean. Church is not the criteria to going to heaven. Making Jesus your Lord is the criteria to going to heaven. Ooh, praise the Lord. Amen? So men in the last days will become lovers of themselves, rather than lovers of God. Men will become lovers of money. Lovers of money. Well, here's what we think. We think, well, I don't love money. I don't. Here's what we think. We think rich people love money and poor people don't. Almost every single person, I don't care how much money you're making, almost every single person in this sanctuary, in both services, almost every person that is going to watch this on cable, you are going to classify yourself as poor. And the reason why you will is because you're going to look at other people that are more wealthy than you, and it puts you in what you consider the poor category. Let me give you a worldview. You are rich. I rolled my R's because I know how to do that. So, you and I are rich. We just are. I mean, we just are. In world terms, you know what? And you, are, in world terms, you and I are the richest of the rich. Okay. Now, let me make this clear. I'm not talking about. So we can look at companies like Enron. And let me tell you what happened. I had a clip, but I don't have time to show it to you. But in Enron was a energy company. And they were a real company, but they started getting in trouble. And when they started getting in trouble, instead of just biting the bullet and seeing stock prices go down, they started to make it look like they were more rich than they were. You ever see those kind of cardboard things? It's like a picture of the president, and you go up there and you put your arm around the president and you get a picture, but it's not the president, it's just a cardboard figurine of the president. That's what Enron was. They weren't really making any money. They did do this business transactions, and the lawyers and the accountants and the CEO and a bunch of the top business, they were all in cahoots with, you know, propping this up, and all these other people. Here's what the top executives did. They sold their stock when it was high, knowing that they were propping the whole thing up, and everybody else bit the bullet. There were lawyers and bankers that were making $1 million on Enron a week, and the whole time knowing that this eventually is going to crumble. And it was people who had their life savings invested in Enron that took all, that's where they took the money from. Grandmas and grandpas and just people. So, Pastor, are you against business? No, listen to me very carefully. I'm not against business. You know what? Businessmen, businesswomen, what a blessing they are. because they provide a product, they provide a service, and they hire people. Oh, you can say amen to this. So I'm not against businesses at all. I'm pro-business. Business is a blessing. But here's what I'm against. I'm against greed. And in the last days, we are seeing men that are lovers of money. Here, I'll just go to a place. You might not want me to go there. You know what? But I'm going to go there because it's the truth. I heard that there's less than maybe, Barna research said, the last time I heard, Barna said about 10 to 12% of people tithe, which means 90%. They're not talking about people. They're talking about people who go to church people. I just heard, what did you call his name, honey? Oh, Dave Ramsey. Dave Ramsey said it's now down to about 4%. Pastor, 4%? Oh. What's going on? Can I tell you what's going on? Men are becoming lovers of money. They're just not lovers of God. They're lovers of themselves. So they're not interested in bringing the tithe in to build the kingdom of God because they're too, you know what? I mean, they wouldn't even imagine if I said, well, you don't need a cell phone. You know what I mean? Why don't you turn off your cell phone that you would tithe? They look at me like, Pastor, are you demonic? What are you talking about? I cannot have a cell phone. You know, really, watch my face. I cannot have a cell phone. You crazy? No, can I tell you what's crazy? What's crazy is that we'll spend money on ourselves and not bring the tithe. And week after 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 week. And then come on in here and, I am saved by grace. How does it go? How does it go? Mercy found me. What? It's a sign of the time. Let's go through one more. One more. Boasters and blasphemers. Everybody say boasters and blasphemers. Okay. Most of this stuff I'm going to go through is directed against Christians, against Christ. Have you noticed there is a anger that is towards Christians now? Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that? Let me tell you, there is an anger towards Christians now. They're angry at us. They're upset with us. They're mad at us. We are the enemy, and we're becoming more the enemy every single day. This is a protesters. They have gone to where the Pope is. I'm not saying everything the Pope says is right. I'm not saying that. I'm just using him as an example of godliness. I'm not saying he is God. You don't understand? But they're going to a place where the Pope is, and they wait until he starts to pray. When he starts to pray, they take off their shirts, women, and they have written on themselves, "In gay we trust." Blasphemous and boasters. Okay. But here's where I have this clip. I want you to listen to the hatred as they tell the Pope to shut up. And they don't want to hear what he has to say about this issue, which, by the way, is a godly issue. And by the way, the Pope is right on this issue. Not because he's right, but because he's following the Word of God. You can say amen. Listen to this and listen to their tone.
Today we go with a message to Paul to shut up his mouth and not to give his advices to those people who decide to realize the plans.
To not give his advice to those people who want to legalize gay marriage. Gay marriage? Is there even such a term? Well, there is in America. If I ask you, do you know what happened Tuesday? Most you'd be like, oh, yeah, here, let me say this. And if I ask you, hey, does anybody know, did the Clippers win last night? I did set you up right now. So. Yeah, man. Here, let me ask you this. Besides my wife, besides Brian, and besides anybody who came to first service, do you know what happened Tuesday? Do you know what was going on in this country on Tuesday? What rights? No. Great. Yeah, I forgot to tell. I forgot that. And it has nothing to do with all that stuff's going on in Baltimore. What? Earthquake? I heard somebody say it. Okay, here's what happened. On Tuesday, our Supreme Court made a decision, or is making a decision, listened to arguments for marriage between same sex and between traditional marriage or biblical marriage. And nine unelected people, by the way, are going to decide for every state in the union whether that is legal or not legal. Can I tell you what? You have no, listen to me, you have no idea what that means for America. You have no idea the ramifications that that will have in every church in America. And can I tell you what should have happened on Tuesday? Every single pastor in every single state, in every single county, in every single city in America should have been in the streets leading a peaceful protest. That's what should have happened. Instead, we know and can figure out if the Clippers won or the Clippers lost. Now, if you feel like that's an indictment against you, it's probably more an indictment against pastors than anybody else. I'm just saying. Where, Pastor, whoa. Pastor, where's this coming from? You know what? First you're talking about, and all of a sudden what happened? Why'd you take this left turn? Listen, here's why. Because in the last days, men will become lovers of themselves. So how do you connect those two together? Let me tell you how I connect those two together. We don't love people enough to tell them the truth. You know how few pastors will stand up in front of their congregations and say, this is wrong? Can I tell you why we won't say this is wrong? Can I tell you why in circles? Can I tell you why we'll Google and text and tweet all kinds of things about, you know what, about, you know, sports and about decorating and about fashion and about all kinds of stuff. But every Christian should be tweeting, this is wrong. America's going the wrong way. We better wake up. Can I tell you why we're not doing that? Here's why. Because we don't want to be unliked. Because we have taken the spirit of the world and received it unto ourselves. It's a spirit of fear. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. Listen, if if somebody is going to hurt themselves, who cares if they're not going to like you, if you save them? Amen? Wow, it got really quiet in here. Pastor Lee stood up here in front of all of us, and here's what he said. This description of the homosexual community as gay is the biggest misnomer, because they are people, but let me tell you what, they are not happy. They are miserable. And you know who has the answer? We have the answer. But we're too afraid to say anything. We let a small minority, you know, somebody, a man, you know what, comes out, says that he is a woman, you know what, is taking hormones, at some point in time will mutilate his body, and all I hear is, wow, isn't that awesome? He's really being honest. He's really being courageous. Now, listen to me very carefully. He's been deceived. And here's what's going to happen. He's going to wake up one day and go, oh, my goodness, what have I done? Then Satan will shoot him another lie and say, let me tell you why you're upset now. You're upset because people won't accept who you are. Guys, we gotta wake up. See, here's your question. When are we gonna wake up? Because let me tell you what, this decision will have ramifications that will rock every church in America. Tuesday, I asked my son. I said, you know what, Tyler? What happens if this thing passes? Somebody comes to our church and says, hey, I want to marry my boyfriend. And he's a guy. Well, what do you think I'm going to say? Well, I'm not going to say, uh-oh. I'm going to say, no. What happens when dad's in jail? Because let me tell you what. People don't see this. Some people don't see this the way the word sees it. Listen, and what's it about? Let me tell you what it's about. It's about we love ourselves too much. We either don't know the word or we know the word and we just don't want to say it. We don't need to be embarrassed. Can I tell you what? One of the things it says is men will be full of pride. Can I tell you what? Love you guys. You don't have more morality than God does. I'll say it again. You are not more moral than God is. And when you make a judgment that God is immoral, that God should learn to love these people, that God is a hater, or that you are a hater because you say it's wrong, can I tell you what? We have become ungodly, unholy. And we just love ourselves. We're just prideful, and we just think we know everything. And you know what? And this has crept in the church, and we won't say anything because we don't want anybody to be mad at us. They might not like us. They might think we're homophobic. Well, here's a thought. Why don't you do the two things that you're called to do? Love God and love other people. I'm not talking about, you know what, bashing anybody, calling them names that are disrespectful or condescending. I'm talking about loving somebody enough to tell them. That's not, can I tell you what? There's not one scientific study, not one medical study that can prove that man was created that way. Well, I was just born that way. And let me ask you this. Were any of you ever in junior high? I'm going to ask you again. Were any of you ever in junior high? Amen. When you were in junior high, did you ever go through like, man, thought your nose, thought, I remember when I thought my teeth, I thought I had buck teeth. Amen. Man, my teeth are big. My teeth are big. My teeth are big. My two tooth teeth are big. I mean, no, they weren't big, amen? I just kept on looking at them, amen? Right? Is that not right? See, what's going on? Satan is just a terrorizer. He just terrorizes, amen? He just likes to mess with you, amen? Every time I look in the mirror, I'd say, man, look at your two big teeth, man. You're big. You got big teeth. You're like a beaver, man. What's he doing, man? He's just jacking. Listen, he doesn't fight fair. He goes into your insecurities, and he just messes with you. You know what? And we've allowed him to mess with our junior hires. So he'll you know what? You know what? You'll be walking, you know, some junior high be walking down the street, and he'll see a guy with some orange pants on, and they'll look at him, and the Holy, and then Satan will come and say, "Ooh, see, you were checking out that guy's butt." You think I'm joking? I'm not. I mean, it's ridiculous, but that's how in real time, that's how it rolls, man. And then you got some professor or some one of their teachers in junior high, who says, well, you know what, everybody's different. Just be who you are. Don't deny who you really are. And Satan says, that was you. That's you. When you checked out that guy's, remember when you were looking at it, you weren't looking at that color. You were looking at his butt. Is this on tape? Say, you know, Pastor, what are you talking about? What are you talking to me about this for? Because we got to love people and have to tell them the truth. Stop letting this junk just permeate our country. You know how many Christians believe that the gay marriage is wrong? Hundreds of thousands, all with duct tape on their mouth, because we're lovers of ourselves. We don't want anybody not to like us. Pastor, who are you talking to? I'm talking to you. I'm talking to anybody who listened to, turn on the television, watch our cable television. You gonna put this on cable? Hello? The light is not made to put under a bush, the Bible says. The light is made to put on a lampstand that others can see. Well, yeah, but what if they not? You're looking at it the wrong way. What if somebody watches this on cable and they're in junior high or they're in high school and they think, oh my goodness, I got ripped off. I'm not gay. You know, right now in California, I'm not making this up, look it up. Right now in California, if you're a counselor and somebody comes in, a junior hire, and says, I'm gay, they can sue you for malpractice if you try to convince them that they're not. Pastor, where did that come from? Can I tell you where it came from? It came from the politicians that you elected. Are you learning? Who's glad they came today? Amen. All right. Take it away, honey. Okay.
Or didn't elect because we were too busy and don't have any idea what's going on except for what's going on in the world. Do not love this world or the things of this world. We're so consumed with what's happening in this world that nobody's paying attention to what God has said and what's going on concerning God's stuff. And we're supposed to be the main defenders of that. We're supposed to be the upholders of that. We're supposed to be the truth tellers of that. We're supposed to be the ones who are Him in this earth, looking out for those, you know what, who are being led astray, who are being deceived. I'm at the front of my Bible, it's talking about a personal application for the book of Timothy. And it says, this epistle is a handbook for ministers of the gospel. That's you. That's not just us. That's all of us. Amen. And that the church needs more Timothys who are determined to guard the gospel as a sacred deposit committed to them, who are faithful to proclaim it, who are ready to suffer for it, and who will pass it on to faithful followers. Is that who we are, guys? Like when we assess, you know what, when it's going through this list in chapter 3, it's good for us to assess if we have it together as we're supposed to have it together. In chapter 3 there, I'm going up from where Pastor was, or nope, I'm going down below from where he was. He was in 3:2, but keep going. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Are we too busy with the pleasures of this world that we don't have time for God and His stuff? Look at the next one. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power to transform. And then it says, of these people, turn away from them. He's not talking about the people outside the church. He's talking to the church people. Well, what should we do? Two things. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and might. That's not just words. That's action. What would that look like? Assess, am I growing in my relationship with the Lord? Or am I too busy? Remember when I think it's the supper that is being, and he calls for them to come to the supper. And one of them's too busy with his job, and one of them's too busy with his new wife, and one of them's too busy with the land. And they all want to be excused from coming. Are we about the Lord's stuff? Or are we looking to be excused because of stuff that we have going on? So love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and might. That's going to look like something. Do you understand? It's not just a phrase that we put on a bumper sticker. It's going to play out in us having a relationship with the Lord. In growing, are you growing in your relationship with the Lord? Assess that. It's a good thing for you to assess. Love others as you love yourself. I think one of the most unpopular parts of being a shepherd, and it's unpopular as a parent too, if you're a good parent. It's unpopular as a friend, if you're a good friend. Is that you'll love someone enough to tell them what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. Because what I've experienced as a shepherd is that when you tell people what they need to hear and they don't like it, next thing you know, you're the target. But we need to love others more than we love ourselves. That we'll be honest with people. The word has got such a clear standard In that same portion of scripture there, he's talking about in the great house are vessels of gold and vessels of clay and wood. If there's wood and clay next to you, do you have the integrity to let them know that they're not hitting the things that the Lord, do you know what I'm saying? Assuming you've got the speck out of your own eye, right? Or the log out of your own eye. That we would have logs out of our eyes that we can love our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ enough to encourage them, not to condemn them, but to encourage them. You know what? To get on the mark. It says right there in that chapter too that we do this with peacefulness and love, not haughtiness. Haughtiness is part of the list of the perilous people. Amen? But that we're walking in love and loving people enough to tell them the truth. That's what Jesus did, didn't he? Did he ever compromise the Word of God? Did he ever compromise the Father's standard? But didn't he tell people some harsh things? He did. He didn't pretend like the adulterous woman wasn't adulterous. He didn't pretend. He told her, I don't condemn you. Now go and sin no more. In other words, get it together. Stop it. And he certainly didn't shun her, did he? He loved her. Loved her enough to tell her the truth. Amen? So, self-examination. And as you will self-examine yourself, you'll not only be the salt and the witness that you're to be for others, you'll be an encouragement to others. Because when they see you making it, and you say, wow, you mean I can do it too. Yeah, you can. You can. You know what? We can be Jesus Christ on this earth. Just he's in us. And we're to be being transformed, looking more and more and more like him. How do we do that? We do that by not loving this world and the things of this world, by not being that list, proud and haughty and all that, you know, by being like him and doing the two things that he told us to do. Amen? Amen.